and welcome to the GC podcast. My name is Laura, and today I have for you an interview I did with Tom Akel, who is the head of content at Line Webtoon, which is a online digital comic series platform. So they have hundreds and hundreds of comics that are creator-owned and made. Of course, they're creator-made. What he was doing at the Keystone Comic Con, which is where I met him and spoke with him, is he was doing portfolio reviews. And I thought to myself, I never realized what goes into a portfolio review, and it sounds like it could be kind of a scary thing. So I spoke with him during the convention at the Webtoon booth. We were right next to the main stage, which just so happened to start having a wrestling match going on, which we didn't plan for. So some of the audio gets a little dicey at places, but I did try to salvage as much as it because the stuff he has to say is great. He was fantastic and incredibly knowledgeable. He also has a comic book coming out, or a comic series with Webtoon coming out next month with V. Stanley called Back Channel. And you can subscribe for free on Webtoon. Super easy to do. And without further ado, here's my interview with Tom. And if you have any questions, be sure to reach out to him. He's super friendly.
I don't know if like Kim told you what I was interested, but I...
She just briefed me.
Oh, okay. I talked to her this morning, and she's like, oh, Tom does portfolio reviews. I was just like, I've never thought what goes into a portfolio review, and I was like, I guess for a lot of people, it might be something that's kind of daunting, or something they might be afraid about doing. So I thought maybe, I don't have a portfolio with me today, but maybe the hypothetically go through what you're assessing when you're looking at a portfolio, and like how you kind of talk with a prospective artist.
Sure. So, because we're a little different than traditional publishers, people kind of come in here with all manner of portfolios or ideas or books. And also, there's no sort of, the shows don't broadcast that we're doing. They do, but not, people don't realize it's happening ahead of time. The way, like San Diego, you sign up and you go up to the second floor and you wait for the picture and Hasbro looks for your stuff and Disney looks for your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little different than that. So I wind up with sometimes it's our writers too. You know, you want to make sometimes it's a writer, sometimes a writer who's got a book they want to review. Sometimes it's a creator who's already uploading to our platform and they're looking for a combination of like how to improve their book for our format.
Okay.
As well as just feedback on how to work as an artist.
Yeah.
Sometimes how to work as a writer. And then there's traditional artists being like they have their sequential pages in their binder and they're coming to us with how to improve as an artist.
Okay.
So each one of those is approached a little bit differently.
Yeah. You mentioned that some people like bring in kind of everything. Has there anything art-wise that's kind of been very surprising to you? Like maybe it was like a little R-rated or kind of
out there?
I had somebody
come in with Cover His Body in Trash at Denver Comic-Con last year and said he was the art, wanted a review of himself.
Was it a good review?
No, I had to ask him. You know.
Yeah.
That one, there was a lot of people waiting to.
That's true.
Yeah. So that was the most bizarre.
So,
funny, but yeah.
So let's say I put a portfolio on the table. Let's say it's someone wrote their own comic book. Or
so
how would you go into it?
So I mean, personally, I'll flip through as much as possible to get an idea of what they have. Especially, let's say it's a more traditional portfolio, and get an idea of like where their strengths and weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
And then give advice on where they need work, right? Is it anatomy? Is it their face? Is it their sequential storytelling skills? Is it the tools they're using? Sometimes that's an issue. Some artists don't even realize it if they haven't been through like formal
training
or at a university or even in high school. They're just artists in self-taught.
It's not a real
winner. And for those artists, it's usually fairly easy to kind of go through and pick and choose. You notice if they have a grasp on perspective or not.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's mistakes in like just basic viewpoint perspective and background. So watching where their tangents are and their characters and their gutter space.
What's gutter space?
The space in between the panels.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was what it was called.
And then the layouts of the pages themselves often. Some artists, if they're a little newer, tend to be more creative with their layout than they should be.
Oh,
instead of trying to keep it simple and keep the storytelling really clean and clear.
Yeah.
You know, and then seeing, can I follow the story, obviously, without any balloons on it.
Yeah.
So, if you can follow that, you know, it's...
That's an interesting perspective, because I remember, as a child, like, my first introduction to comics was before I could read. So, just, I remember the pictures, I don't remember what books it was, or I remember it was Spider-Man, but that was about it. So, you know, so the pictures tell the story itself, too.
Yeah, good artists to be able to tell the story without the balloons, right?
So how can someone bringing in a comic prepare, and what can they do to better prepare themselves for a portfolio review? All
right, so there's a bunch of sort of ground rules that, you know, not everybody has, but often they'll come in here and not realize that their portfolio review is happening, so they're not prepared, which is fine. We welcome that. I don't mind giving any portfolio review, and I'll sit here for as long as I want. That said, if they're going to go in and they know they're going in, having some sort of a lead behind, if asked for it, but don't offer it unless asked.
So, right? A lead behind is like a copy.
Is a printed copy of the portfolio, a copy of a book they've done, make sure they have a business card with their contact information on it really clearly, especially their email.
Yeah.
So ask for that, have it ready. Don't offer it ever, typically, if you're lead behind.
Okay.
There's a lot of don'ts. There's more don'ts than do's, to be honest. It's just more like, you know, all feedback, whether you agree with it or not, can help you improve.
Yeah.
Don't push back on it. Just accept it. Editors can make mistakes.
Yeah.
They can all be wrong about the feedback. So go home, think about it, and if you don't agree with it, it's fine. I mean, you sit through, maybe you've been through art school, it's critiqued, and you know, they can be pretty brutal.
So what is your background that you're coming with being able to look over the portfolio?
So I have a Master of Fine Arts from Parsons.
Okay.
And then since then I've been in animation and content development for 15 years.
Okay,
and
so you've been a creator, and you are a creator. Have you discovered any of the Webtoon creators through these kind of portfolio reviews?
Yes. Victoria Roboto, who's right over there, does the West.
It looked like there was a window there. I looked at a wall.
You go down that aisle on the corner. So she's got a huge version of stuff. She came to our portfolio reviews in New York. Harry Roberts over there. Came to our portfolio reviews in New York, 2016, I think. Clearly, it was already there at shops. It's a lot of sometimes you just see somebody who's, it's like, why aren't we working right now? There's a lot of those actually happen too. And for her, it was kind of like, what are you working on?
And
she's like, I did some covers for, I forget, maybe one of the sort of second tier major publishers.
Okay.
And just thinking about stuff, and I was like, here's my card, pitch me
something.
Wow. You know, and she just sent 5 or 6 pitches, they're all great, and we picked West, and it's been going phenomenally well, and the second season starts later this month, I believe. Another one also at Baltimore Comic Con, this was a really great story. Tiffany Woodall, who does Late Bloomer. Late Bloomer ended, she's got another pitch with us that we greenlit. It's not announced yet. That's going to come out later this year, too. Early next year. She came to the portfolio review in Baltimore Comic Con 2016, also? Yeah, this is 2018.
Oh, 2016 was a good year.
Actually, Victoria might have been 2015. I'm losing track. They were both 2016, yes. So she came 2016, already had her title in Discover. So it was less of a traditional portfolio review as it was, like, you know, what she's already working on.
Yeah.
You know, it had some traction, but there were mostly formatting mistakes, like basics that just needed help with from an editor, and kind of just gave her a bunch of notes, subscribed to the title, saw her updating it regularly, and we just kind of walked an eye on it, and finally it was like, all right, this thing's great now, we want to greenlight it. Reached out to her and greenlit it, and from that Baltimore for the next thing, she's on a panel with us at San Diego Comic Con, less than 12 months later. Like a title with, you know, 6 figures of readership.
That's crazy.
So, you know, the dreams do come true.
Have you seen people come again to you saying, I made these improvements from the last time you told me?
No, I've had people come more than once, but it's usually, it's not someone who has taken the feedback and come back and improved on their art necessarily.
Okay.
I've had people more return with, either they're continuing to work on a Discover series, or they're looking looking to pitch something or just say hi again with something they've worked on and they're uploading and just kind of wanted to more like feel this out and see like how we feel about their work.
I was wondering how that kind of...
Yeah, some like the more careers, especially today and probably a lot of that. We just did this at Girls Gone North Carolina. There are a lot of really good artists and in Chicago this year as well who come in and were super talented but had no formal education, so a lot of basic mistakes that I'd given them very direct techniques to try.
I was gonna say, do you think like someone who has a lot of talent but doesn't have like maybe the technical, I guess, acumen, would you suggest like maybe they take art courses or just even learn voice technical side a little bit?
I usually more recommend practices they should be doing and books they should get.
Okay.
I don't know if everybody has the finances to pay for classes. They can be pretty expensive if you get classes. So I'll direct them to books on anatomy, on storytelling, on general perspective, on animation. So that's very applicable.
What are the books you recommend like generally?
I very often recommend The Animated Survival Kit by Richard Grant, which is a guy I use in school. It's an animation book, so the art in it means cartoony.
Okay.
Less than comic booky, but technical terms. But the lessons in there on anatomy, on walk cycles, on perspective, and then really specifically on facial expressions, facial anatomy, are pretty invaluable. So I'll sort of assign a lesson of homework to say, like, do all the facial expression work, some of these faces are all too simple, right? That happened today, right? Somebody came in, comment in Discover, great traction, everybody looks the same, and the only way you're making them look different is changing their hair color. Right? Like, so you can't all have the same facial expression.
Yeah.
We all have very different faces. Go through there, look at the facial expressions, go through all the exercises, then pick up your favorite television show, and do those exercises for the characters on that show. So, like, you'll get to see, like, a real-life cast where a casting director took time to cast people who have a different look. So, like, a cast of Stranger Things or Walking Dead, even something like Silicon Valley. Everybody looks different. Whatever show it is, and do each of the characters, you do the full expression sheet for those characters, and then you'll pick up on like where people's cheekbones are, the shape of their nose, the shape of their lips,
and how those features
jawline, ears,
too.
Yeah, and then also how they sort of are reflecting personalities, right?
Yeah.
You'll sort of work that into your world. And you know, if they do that regularly, if they go through that exercise, and we're talking like usually 10 characters, if you go through all that, they will. Everyone improves exponentially by doing that, and the same sort of exercise. So any artist will tell you this, is draw every day of life, and if they're not doing that, they're not going to ever get improvement. Every great artist tell you this.
Yeah, I mean, you walk across Art Sally, and you know their heads in the pad, they're writing, drawing, whatever.
Always drawing.
So they're like, oh, people are talking to me. It's like a sad. So, what else is there about a portfolio review that someone who is maybe scared or hesitant to do one?
I think it's sort of the best thing for anybody's going to go in for one with intent is to sort of know the company that you're going to meet with before you go. It's great. It's still like walking off the street for us is always welcome.
Yeah.
But if you're prepared to go to Web Series, it's different than going to Hasbro. It's different than going to Disney. It's different than going to Marvel, right? So know who your audience is really important. If you're sort of not prepared for that company, you're not going to get as much out of it. So if you're going to Marvel, you're not going to Marvel with like your manga style
website.
So yeah, so if you're going to Marvel, know that you should be bringing work that Marvel's looking for. If you're going to Hasbro, you're going to work with Hasbro. Coming to Webtoon, a little bit of a jack of all trades, soul styles.
But it's still good to know. I mean, Kim, we had just spoken to, she had given me like the creator's package, and I was reading that, and it was just like, you know, the facts were easy right there. It tells you, for example, who the readership is. That's a lot of like, what was it, like something like 64% is female, and then like, also the creators are, I think, majority female, like that kind of thing.
And we're younger.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 And yeah, anything else about portfolio reviews or anything that you're excited for webcams to be doing?
I mean, you know, I'll say it again, like, don't be scared to go to a portfolio review. Be prepared to, like I'd say, be prepared to potentially, like, catch some very direct criticism of your work. A lot of editors are super direct, where you need to improve. Don't let it hurt your feelings. Like, take it back and improve on it.
Yeah. If you agree, like, that makes
sense. You know, being a creative person, when you put your work out there, no matter what, it makes you vulnerable. And there, you have to get over that, not just in the portfolio, but public. So,
yeah.
Don't worry about it in a one-on-one, usually closed room where nobody else is around or at a table and no one else is paying attention, but you have to have feedback. You'd rather get it there and improve on those things that you're not seeing yourself in your work than put out to the public and have it found there, right?
Yeah.
As far as for what we're excited about, I mean, you know, the contest just wrapped, so I haven't even looked at any interest myself yet.
Yeah, I heard there was several, like 25,000 or something like that?
6,000 or 7,000.
Oh, so, okay. I know it was several thousand.
We may have hit 7,000.
Wow.
I know it was already over 6, like a week or so ago.
Yeah.
yeah, so I think we hit 7,000. Those interviews were closed, and you know, there's an editorial team in New York coming through all that.
Oh, okay.
So it's super exciting. I was excited about this year, just everyone comes out of that. It's the biggest and most ambitious contest we've ever won. And we've had some really fantastic hits come out of this contest in the past.
Okay.
Like Ordinary and Space Boy, and a bunch of other titles. So
cool.
That, and then, you know, in October we're launching
Back Channel? Is that when that?
Back rolls from Back Channel. I was on co-writing, launching Caster.
With Common
in it. We're launching the Return of 1000 by Sanford Green, the Return of Mother's Bomb by Ryan Benjamin. We're launching Finality by Warren Ellis and Paul Doran. Like, two legends.
Big names.
Yeah, Common. So that's a really, really exciting week. It's the Return of Dents that week, which is the third and final season of that. E-Fighter, which is my favorite titles we're doing with Fred Van Lent, we're Marvel Zombies and Tierra Artist Alley.
Oh, okay.
That's super, super funny.
Yeah.
It's a heavy week. Not naming all of them, yeah, it's announced.
It's a lot. I mean, there's
both we've announced.
Hundreds of comments on webtoons, it makes sense. So, segueing into Back Channel, what was it like to work with Stan Lee, and like how did you work with him?
So I have been sort of less than having him now.
Okay.
I first started working with Stan and Henry David Howe when I was in Spike TV. And I wrote and directed his ringtones for him. Like, when I was a bank and ringbacks.
Oh my god.
I kind of started there, and then, you know, we did some episodes of Pete Griffin together. I had a family on some anime series that I wrote and produced for Comedy Central and Spike. And we launched MVP. We ran a couple contests with him. We got him off the site. Career, you know.
With working on him for Back Channel, was it a lot of like going in person, or was it online?
A little bit. So, you know, the initial meetings in person, we read a several page online agreement on the property, which is originally called something else. Went through and refined it. Then it becomes more, even though they're closer to something else, I go down there quite a bit. It's really just more like, shoot stuff over, and then tell the editors. So it's like, you know, the day to day is more of an editor than him. He's in a good sense. Material as it kind of comes in until it's two of the weeks. You know.
That sounds awesome. It sounds like it's
going to
be a good run.
Yeah. I'm really excited about it. I mean, he almost launched Webster in the US. We were out together in San Diego in 2015.
Yeah, that's a good way to start.
Yeah, we grabbed it. That's where order came from. This is not just a good partnership to stay on the
town. Oh, okay. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Great, cool. I have no more questions. But thank you so much for talking to me today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, good to meet you.
Great to meet you. Thank you so much.